Bring back Nessie, for example, if Nessie never existed in the first place. If you're going to say that it's out there now, you better have some really good evidence. I mean, you know, something like, well, what we have for the coelacanth, where you actually bring one in.
How do you compare scientists that are looking for evidence of the ivory-billed woodpecker and people who are looking for evidence of Nessie or Bigfoot or another creature?
I think part of it is simply the fact that you have trained people looking for the woodpecker, people who understand the woodpecker, and of course they know what they're looking for because the woodpecker existed in recent history. But beyond that, they are not willing to say, yes, it's out there now until the evidence is very, very good. Yes, we have photographs of Nessie and Yeti and woodpeckers, but the people who think that the Yeti is out there think that the evidence is already good enough. And the woodpecker people are very careful. They say, it could be out there. This might actually be a photo of it, but we're not absolutely sure yet. And that's the difference between science and pseudoscience.
Thank you to our production team, Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
Also support from Google, Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David, and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, and a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Skeptic Check, Monster Mashup from Big Picture Science. We devote one episode a month to critical thinking to keep those brain cells fast on the draw. You can find more Big Picture Science and Skeptic Check on iTunes and through the link on our website. And while you're online, you might just find and download our Big Picture Science app. It's on iTunes, Android, and Windows 8.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio because it's a worthy species proven to exist, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like the show.
Skeptic Check is brought to you thanks to a generous grant from the Trimberger Family Foundation. At the Trimberger Family Foundation, we hold that skepticism is a lamp that lights the way to truth. You don't need to be a scientist to hold that lamp. Look for evidence. Keep on thinking. Trimberger.org.
Hi there, I'm Lish.
I'm Lance.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Todd.
And we're Penumbrae, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn, and this show is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and this month my special guest is Salima Bimani, and she is an energy light worker, artist, and educator. She also does Turkish coffee cup readings, and we're definitely going to talk about that today. But right now, I just want to say hello, Salima, and thank you for being on the show today.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Now, you recently did our Festival of Enlightenment, which was last month, the 21st of March. That's where I met you, and I want to thank you for being a part of that. That was very nice of you to join us. But one of the things that really caught my eye on your application was the fact that it said that you were a Turkish coffee cup reader, and we had never had anybody like that, and it really caught my eye. So will you please tell us what that means?
Yeah. So Turkish coffee cup reading actually is a way of fortune telling. Traditionally, that's how people have described it. And it's something actually that began in Turkey in about the 18th century. And what people would do is they'd sit around coffee shops, and people would drink coffee in these little cups and made specifically in the style of Turkish coffee. And once they drank it, they would flip over their cup, and then somebody around them would read their cup. And often it was often started off as just entertainment. You know, people would do it for fun. And then it sort of blew up and took off, and people began to do these readings professionally in Turkey. And oftentimes, it's still today, you see that a lot of people have gatherings, and, you know, at the end of the gathering, people have their cups turned over, and they, you know, they'll turn it over to read and read each other's. But for me, you know, the Turkish coffee cup reading was something that was introduced to me when I was probably about 20 years old by a really good friend of mine who was actually in Turkey, living with a family where they had passed on this knowledge to him. Mm-hmm. And there was a grandmother there who did this Turkey coffee cup readings, and people would come to her, and this is the knowledge she passed on to her, to him. And he came back from Turkey, and he was just doing it for all of us. And immediately, it was something that just spoke to me as a way of working with people for people to sort of develop a deeper consciousness and awareness about where they are in life, where their energies are, where they're headed, where they're imagining their life. And whether they were in alignment with that or not. And so for me, the Turkish coffee cup reading is really a way for people to come into deeper consciousness of themselves, and to kind of really create the life that they imagine or that they desire on their deepest soul level.
Mm-hmm. So that really resonated with you? You knew right away that this was something you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, I did. And the thing is, for a few years I didn't, you know. And then it all began with just me and my friends being at a Middle Eastern restaurant and having Turkish coffee. And, you know, and I just said, hey, why don't I read your cups? And, you know, the cups were flipped over, and I flipped it over, and there it came. It just all started coming through. But I will say that it's something that I've developed over time in terms of my skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think initially I was sort of reading very peripherally, because what happens is when you turn the coffee cup over and you've drank your coffee, there's all these patterns that emerge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, traditionally, people say that a lot of these patterns actually have meaning. So they'll say if something looks like a necklace, that might mean X. I actually don't follow that, and I never have really, is sort of this like sort of traditional methodology. But I've kind of just gone with what comes to me intuitively, mm-hmm. looking at the cup. But it was over time that I actually began to realize that, oh, wait a second, you know, this cup is telling me something, and I'm sort of processing it intuitively. But more than that, there's other modalities that of energy work that I actually draw into it. So then, you know, using my awareness of how people carry energies in their bodies becomes a part of the reading. You know, listening to spirit guides, that's something that's I've been developing over the last 10 years. You know, when I was a child, I used to feel spirits, but I used to ignore it because it used to scare me.
Mm-hmm.
And probably right into my 20s, I was like, I'm going to deny that part of me.
Yeah, right. Let's not think about that.
Yeah.
Right?
But in the last 10 years, it keeps showing up as something that I need to pay attention to, and that the spirits are in communication with me and I'm in communication with them. So oftentimes when I do readings, you know, ancestors will come, you know, whether it's people that have passed or it could be people's angels that will come. So it's really opened up for me in terms of how I do the reading and what I bring to the reading. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily traditional, but I definitely honor the tradition that it's come from, you mm-hmm. know, the sort of Turkish coffee cup reading that comes from the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. But obviously it must have some meaning if you've pursued it for this long and have developed it, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. And I think that, I think again for me, because I've sort of taken all these modalities that I work with and brought them together into the reading, I think it has even more meaning and deeper meaning. And the other aspect of this that's really, really interesting is that, you know, my family is originally from India and from Western India. And both my maternal and paternal sides of my families have healers and spirit workers. And in fact, there's an ongoing joke in India about my family that, you know, they were known as like the ghost catchers.
Okay.
And people used to like mock them because they thought actually they were crazy because you could talk about spirits and ghosts. But clearly, these were people that were in tune with, you know, higher frequencies and vibrations and other kinds of energies. A lot of people there didn't know how to accept that or think about that. But I sort of have a deeper understanding of where it comes from for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when I was 5 and I first had my experience of what would we call a metaphysical experience, if you will, kind of reiterated to me that this was something also that was passed on to me. It's not something that I've just, you know, developed and honed as a skill in this life,
mm-hmm.
but something I think that comes with me on a soul level. And as part of my family, I see it, you know, I see a lot of light workers in my family.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happens sometimes when people don't understand something, they tend to make fun of it at times.
Absolutely. It's scary. It can be scary for people
when
people see beyond what's in front of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what really goes on for a reading? I mean, you drink a cup of coffee. Does it have to be Turkish coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Just go through the process for us.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, a reading always begins with myself, which might sound very self-centered. But what I mean by that is that I do a lot of meditation, a lot of centering, a lot of being present for the universe, for the spirit guides, for whoever it is that's going to come to me. And that's really, really important to me as a process. Because, you know, for me to do a reading for someone is very humbling, and it's an honor. And I want to make sure that I am in the best place to be able to do that reading. And I don't assume that I'm always going to be, because I'm human like anybody else.
Yes, right.
So that's part of my process. And then usually when I have the cups, I use sage or I use incense to clear and cleanse cups, to clear and cleanse space. And then when someone comes to me, I actually make their coffee with the intention of doing a reading for them. And yes, I would use Turkish coffee just because of the way the grinds are. Mm-hmm. It actually makes it really suitable to doing a coffee cup reading. And then I also add in sugar for sweetness, so that may the reading be sweet and may it bring, you know, whatever it is that's in your highest and best. Mm-hmm. And then also add in some cardamom, because that kind of brings a nice fragrance to it. And then once the coffee is ready, I pour it into a cup. And then the person drinks the cup, and ideally it's leisurely. They can drink it leisurely, but if I'm doing multiple readings, then it doesn't always happen in a leisurely way.
It's not like, well, you only got 5 minutes, drink up, you know, let's go here.
They'll read the cup, and then we'll flip it over. And usually once they flip it over, they'll pass it over to me, you know, and I'll just put my hand over it just to, you know, get sort of connect with the cup. And then I'll flip it over. And usually the reading begins with an image or... you know, something will pop out of the cup, and the narrative begins there. Whatever the narrative is, that's to be revealed, both through what's being said in the cup, mm-hmm. but also what's coming to me, you know, in terms of the esoteric wisdom that's out there, that's being sort of channeled through me to the person. And then it really begins from there. And I feel strongly that when people come to me, they're not coming to me blank slates. They themselves have their own psychic intuitive powers. They themselves are like souls that know. But our work together is to come into deeper awareness, deeper consciousness. And so it's dialogical too for me. So if people want to, you know, ask me questions as we're going along, or we want to sort of make it a conversation, then that's great too. And really every reading flows based on who the person is and what energy they bring and what I get from them in that process.
So it's not like you really go into a trance per se. You are more or less conscious and aware of what's going on around you. Like you say, you can have a conversation with someone. Yeah. So you're knowing, but you're also in the moment, in the now, correct?
Absolutely. And I think part of that process of being in the now is then also being aware of the different layers of energy that we're actually in together in that moment. And there are so many layers of energy, you know? What I call the subtle body energies, or the, you know, and the cosmic energies, and all of that is at work. And so for me to be present for all of that, and for that person to be present for all of that, and sometimes it does happen, I don't know if I would necessarily use the language of trance, but sometimes it does happen where I'm redoing a reading with somebody and, you know, something comes over me. And, you know, for instance, when we're at the metaphysically speaking, or the fair that you had, the holistic health, the holistic fair, and some people came to me and, you know, like I just couldn't stop crying for them, but it was because there was something profoundly important coming through. And one of the ways that I process is through tears. So it was about me, but it was also about them in that sense, right? Because it was coming to me in a way that made sense to me, but it was coming to me for them in a way that made sense for them. And I feel that being open to that is really important.
So when you start to cry, would this be in relation to bad news for them, or bad information, or what they might consider bad information?
Yeah.
Or is it tears of joy? What exactly is it?
I mean, in the several readings that I did there, no, it wasn't necessarily tear of joy or tears of sadness, but there were just tears of profoundness. When something moves you so profoundly because something is there. In one case, it was because there was something very important being told to this person about their life purpose. And they had lived their life, you know, 70, 80 years. And yet there was something so profoundly important coming through that it changed the course of their life. And that to me was completely moving. And I could feel the energies, and I could feel the universe, and I could feel the spirit saying, this person needs to pay attention to this. You know, you need to address this. You need to come to this. So, I was moved by it, and they were moved by it because of the profoundness of it.
Well, it must be rewarding for you when, you know, you can touch a person in a way that they know that they have been told something that's very important to them, mm-hmm. whatever it might be, life mission or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think the other part of it for me is that, for me, Turkish coffee, using that modality of Turkish coffee cup readings, is not fortune telling. Mm-hmm. It's not even being a psychic. And that's not how I would frame it or describe what happens in the course of our meeting. But what I do think happens is that there's a potential to open up further and deeper into how we understand our lives. And as I tell people every time someone comes to do a reading with me, is that tomorrow you'll make a decision and this cup will maybe not be as relevant. So we always have agency and autonomy over our lives, and right. nothing I say is an absolute. You know? Mm-hmm.
Right, we all have choice, and that could change the course of
absolutely
a human's life or yeah. whatever the case.
And we're co-creating with the universe, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, that co-creation, I can't interrupt that co-creation, nor do I want to. Mm-hmm. Even if I could, I wouldn't want to. You know, that's your co-creation. I'm just here to support you in that process.
Mm-hmm. So when you first look at the coffee grounds, is there anything specifically you're looking for? Or again, just what you said, you just might start receiving impressions about what you're looking at?
Yeah, no, I try really hard not to go in with preconceived ideas mm-hmm. of even process. So my own methodology about how I read, I don't go in having already decided. I know that I need to flip the cup. I know that I need to look at it, but that's it. And, you know, sometimes it's that there's an image that pops out. So one of the most recent readings I did, an image popped out of somebody who was a baby. And the person who I was doing the reading for was also in the cup. And they were holding this baby. But the baby was actually a representation of a parent in this person's life, which seemed very odd, but that became really clear in the next, after a few minutes of us doing the reading. So that was like, that's an example of something that might pop out to me, and then the story just unfolded from there. In another case, when I did a reading for somebody, there was no image that popped out for me immediately, but actually what came to me was a spirit. Mm-hmm. And it was the spirit who actually then guided the reading and what I saw in the cup. So it really all depends on who it is and, you know, what the message is from the universe for them.
Mm-hmm. And just real quickly, I want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Salima Bimani, and she is an energy light worker, artist, and educator. She also does Turkish coffee cup readings. That's what we're talking about right now. Now, you said that you received impressions from spirits. Would these be spirits that people have known, perhaps, that have passed on or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can be. Oftentimes it is that it's someone that's passed on in their life. It could be a parent, it could be a grandparent, it could be a friend. Usually speaking, it's someone that has some kind of degree of closeness to them. Mm-hmm. At least that's been my experience so far. And generally speaking, there is some... Either there is some kind of awareness that they're trying to bring to that person around something that's happening in their life now. It could be that there's some resolution around their own relationship with that person that needs to happen. It could be that that person's actually directing them into the future in some way. Again, it really depends on each person.
Mm-hmm. Do you get things like what a person's health is like, anything like that, that... maybe somebody from the other side is speaking to them about certain situations they have to be aware of and mm-hmm. take care of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the way that I often process people on a physiological level is that I often will feel whatever they're experiencing in my own body. So sometimes spirit will come and say, you know, provide a message, but oftentimes it'll be that my body experiences something for that person. So for instance, somebody I recently read, you know, I felt the throat in so much pain, and I kept coughing, and it turned out that that person was developing an allergy that was related to an emotional issue that was actually related to an energetic issue, and that was manifesting actually in her throat. So oftentimes I'll experience things in my own body mm-hmm. To receive the message, and then sometimes the spirit will come as confirmation, they'll come as more information to that, or they'll actually direct, you know, where I go with it.
Mm-hmm. Would there be anything just like a general spirit guide coming through to give advice to people?
Yeah, so in, again, another reading that I recently did, I was reading somebody, and I had I actually asked a person if someone had passed in their life, because I saw the person in the cup, and she said yes, and I said, well, this person is actually now your guide, your earth, your, you know, your earth angel, but a spirit from above, and this person is actually operating in your life to actually let you know what it is that you haven't been able to accept about yourself. And in this case, it was this person not accepting that they're actually really powerful as an individual, and in this case, as a woman, she had a lot of power, but she wasn't necessarily harnessing that power in the right way, or even recognizing that she was powerful. And the spirit guide was actually there to guide her in that. So that was something that really was really important to this person, to know that this person who had passed on, who actually we learned afterwards, she told me after the reading was done, that was somebody that had passed on quite early in their life. It was a really good friend of hers, her best friend. Ultimately, she was very moved to know that this person was still around.
Mm-hmm. And did she heed this person's advice at all, or
yeah.
You don't know?
No, she really heard it. Mm-hmm. She really heard it. And the funny thing is, when I had invited her to do a reading, she was a bit skeptical. She was excited about it, but she was like, I don't know what this is all about.
Right. Well, sometimes people are scared, too, because they're afraid to find out, you know, something that might be bad or they consider bad. I'm sure there is some apprehension sometimes when people come
Absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely. Yeah, people are worried. You know, they're they're thinking that, do I really want to know this?
Yeah, right. Ignorance is bliss, right?
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, I don't frame the readings in bad or good, and I don't frame the readings in sort of dichotomies in any way. I try to frame it as, this is, you know, again, you in communication with the universe, you in communication with spirit, you in communication with me, and we are just trying to get a better sense, a deeper sense of where you are in life, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, I don't know if this is a dumb question or not, but do you ever get, like, pets or anything coming through you, or certain animals, anything like that?
No, I don't. Probably because I've never had one in my life.
Okay. Well, I don't know, because, you know, sometimes people have claimed that, you know, pets have tried to, you know, contact them or, you know, that kind of thing. I just wondered if that had been your experience.
No, but I often will see animals in cups, so if there is a meaning, if there, for instance, the most recent cup that I read, I saw an eagle, and I'd asked this person if eagle meant anything, and it happened that it did actually mean something. There was some relevance for that person. So sometimes they'll come in the cup as a symbolism, or as a metaphor, or actually something that they're an animal that they're supposed to engage with, like directly. You know, there's some kind of relationship that they're supposed to build. So it does come through in that way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever give yourself a reading? Or is that something that you're a little afraid to do or not really comfortable doing because you might be a little biased, because obviously you want good things to happen for you and your loved ones, but does that affect you in that you don't give one yourself to yourself?
I don't give myself a reading, generally speaking, because I think on a day-to-day I'm really trying to be conscious and in conversation with the universe. Already, it's something that I'm really that's the place where I'm operating from, always in my sort of with myself. And I'm not saying I'm always good at it. I think that, again, being human, there's days where I'm, you know, really on and aligned, and then there's days where I'm not, you know.
Right.
So living with that consciousness, living with that kind of sort of what I would call like a, you know, a creative spirit with the universe, I think opens me up to that. So when I actually, oftentimes when I try to even read my cup, because it happens sometimes where I'm like with people and I'll drink a cup, and then I'll turn it around and, you know, people will be like, well, who's going to read your cup? And I'm like, I'm not going to read it.
Yeah, I'll pass.
But primarily it's because I actually can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can only see so much. So there are things that I can see. Like immediately when I turn, I'll usually see some things.
Right.
And they'll come out, they'll pop out at me. But I generally can't do a whole reading for myself.
Mm-hmm. Because things just don't come through like they normally do for other people?
I think I'm probably not allowing it to come through on some level. And maybe I just don't want to read my own cup, you know. Maybe I'd rather have somebody else read my cup.
Right. Do you get readings like that from somebody else?
Yeah, I have a really close friend actually who's very good at it herself actually, and she used to do my readings back in the day. And that was something I always enjoyed. And I actually, when I, you know, do readings for people, sometimes it'll be, if it's a group, it'll be that I'll be like, hey, what, somebody want to try to do this themselves, you know? And because I feel like all of us have within us the intuitive power. All of us have that. And so it's not everybody needs to harness it through Turkish coffee cup readings. Mm-hmm. Not all of us need to harness it at all if that's not in your path, you know? But the ability to see and read beyond the physical and in the physical is all a part of who we are as human beings, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I like encouraging people to say, you know, try doing it yourself, see what happens.
Right. Yeah, live dangerously, right? Well, I think that happens that people don't give themselves credit for being, you know, psychic beings, because people always report that little voice in the back of their head telling them to do something. And many times, if you follow that advice, it turns out to be right. You know, there's no, you know, right or wrong necessarily, because like you said earlier, we have free will and the universe has its own way of moving. But just the fact that, you know, people do have that ability, especially I feel through dreams, they can kind of tell what's going on and stuff. But again, that little voice in the back of your head can be a voice of spirit or whatever you think it might be that can help you.
Yeah, and I think also ego gets in the way, and I think that this is something that we all have to contend with, even for me, you know, it's like I have to make sure that I'm not operating from ego, because ego sort of blinds us to being able to see in a deeper sense, and also to see from a place of not being self-serving, you know. To take care of self is really, really important, period, but not in a way that's self-serving and that's feeding the ego, you know. That's not coming from a place of light and love within us. And I think that that's something that when people stop themselves, I think oftentimes it's the ego and it's the fear, right, that feeds the ego. And I think for me too, when I'm doing readings, you know, is again kind of checking in with myself, you know, where am I coming from in this reading? And that the reading's not about me. It's not about what I can do or not do, because then that becomes ego.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to get to that point where you think you can control other people or control their lives, because that would be obviously against the grain, so to speak, that would actually affect your readings, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that, again, I mean, just in general and the work that I do in the world, is that power relationships, right? And especially when we're in that place, when someone comes to you, you know, they are opening up to you, which means they're vulnerable to you. And I think it's important for me to be vulnerable to them. And when I come from that place of vulnerability, we're both in this place of vulnerability, and recognizing that we are in a power relationship, right? And things I can say and do can affect this person because they are sitting in front of me and they are sitting in front of me for a reading. But I'm constantly kind of checking in and reminding myself and asking myself, okay, where am I coming from with this? Is this honestly coming out of the cup? Is this honestly coming from spirit, from the universe? Is this me talking, ego talking? Is this my mind talking, you know? And sometimes it's crazy because as I'm doing this reading, I'm having this conversation with myself. But again, I think it's so important to be honest and authentic in that moment with people.
Right. You have to kind of keep yourself in check, so to speak.
Absolutely. Keep yourself and be humbled, right, by that. Remember the humility in doing this, right, and the humility in working with people and seeing people as souls and experiencing them as souls and them experiencing you on that, you know, soul level. There is no room for ego in that, even if ego shows up.
Right. Now, do a lot of people come back to you after they've had a reading and say that, you know, you were right on with the information you gave me, things of that nature?
Yeah, I have. I've had people come and say that to me. In fact, somebody said to me recently, they called me up and they said, hey, you know, you had mentioned that I was going to meet this young boy, this little boy, and he was going to make me confront myself. And at the time, we had talked about it, and I said, there are no little boys in my life. And she ended up being at an event where she was with this woman, and this woman had a boy who was like 5 years old, and this boy hated her. That's how she described it. You know, he could not, it's like he would repel her for some reason. And she began to realize it was because he was seeing things in her that she was having a hard time facing about herself that were actually holding her back and making her not that nice of a person, as she put it. So she actually called me up and said, hey, by the way, I met the boy. And this is like, I don't know, 4 years later. And sometimes that will happen, right? Things will show up. And, you know, the other thing about it is I might articulate something in a particular language, or it might show up in a particular way through an image or something, but that image or that language actually may not be the way that it actually shows up later on. Mm-hmm. But there'll be some kind of hint of connection where it'll be like, well, you said it this way, but actually this is how it showed up. And I'm making the connection because I can see that what you said actually is leading to this.
Right.
So there's that too. That's that piece of it too, right? Is sometimes right. How we see things in the moment is not necessarily how it shows up, but that there's a relationship between that.
Right. People want to identify it with the way their life is right then. And again, like you're saying, In the future, you might meet that other person or that other event might happen. But what you know right now is, you know, no way is that going to happen. You know, it's not on the radar, so to speak. But Just give yourself some time and be open and. Generally, you think things will work out, you know, based on what you've told them?
Yeah. I feel like the readings are there so that people can, you know, come into a deeper sense of themselves so that they can sort of think about their choices, think about, you know, people that are in their life, think about, you know, opportunities that are in their life, think about where they're spending their time, where they're spending their time within themselves. And I find that for me in doing the readings with them, again, it's a matter of, you know, what does this knowledge now do for me? You mm-hmm. know, does it help me make a different decision? Does it help me, you know, does it honor the decisions I've been making so far? Does it actually direct me in a different direction? Does it actually pull me towards somebody or something that I didn't think about? Pull me away from people? Does it, you know, ask me to create boundaries? I mean, really, like, there's such a plethora of ways in which actually the reading can direct you. But ultimately, I think that the receiver is just as important as the reader, you mm-hmm. know, and how that person receives that and then translates that in their life is what's going to also be really important in the process.
Right. Now, they could, you know, maybe misinterpret something that you say. Does that happen sometimes?
Sure. I haven't really had that where people have misinterpreted. And oftentimes, if there is a misinterpretation, it'll come out in the reading where people will say, well, do you mean this? And they'll be like, no, that's not what I'm getting right now. This is what I'm getting right now. But I think ultimately, and I think that this is an interesting thing about reading these readings too anyways, is that, you know, there people do have interpretive room. Right. So if I say, you know, the eagle means X and you're like, nah, I don't think eagle means X. That's OK.
Mm-hmm.
Go with that, you know,
right.
Because maybe it's showing up for a reason in the way that I'm reading it and you're taking that and you're taking it to a different place. That's OK. So I think that there's no definites. And I think that that's probably a good thing as well, because, mm-hmm. again, for me, that goes back to the fact that you have agency and you are a co-creator with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to support you in that process.
Right. And I believe you said that at a very early age you felt some type of psychic ability. Did you know at that time that you were special or that you had special abilities?
I was telling you earlier, I was 5 years old and my brother passed away. He was 12 and he passed away in a car accident that we were all in. And I remember nobody had told me that he had passed away because they thought I'd go into shock because he and I were very, very extremely, extremely close. But I already knew that he had gone. And I remember the day that my mom told me we were in the house and she was putting away his clothes and, you know, she said, you know, your brother's passed on. And my response to her was, I know, I already know that, you know. And the reason why that moment was so pivotal for me was because I understood that his purpose was for a certain time. And I also understood that now he was a spirit. And I don't know how I understood that, but it was just like a click. It's like something turned on and I was like, I get it. And I feel you and I experience you as spirit. And that was really like the first moment of awareness that, okay, there's something more to me than just my cognitive mind. There's mm-hmm. other ways in which I relate to the world and understand my existence. That is not just the material, physical aspect of how I live.
Mm-hmm. Again, I just want to take a quick time out to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, Station Making Waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Salima Bimani. She's an energy light worker, artist, and educator. And we were already talking about the Turkish coffee cup readings, but we're going to move on now to find out some of the other things that she does. Now, when you were that young, did you try to tell your parents or express that to other people that you had I don't know, ascertain different, you know, news and information that, you know, a five-year-old probably wouldn't be able to access, per se?
You know, the thing that I noticed about people around me is how much pain that there were and how much suffering there was in my brother's loss, which completely made sense. But I didn't experience it as suffering or loss, you know, and I didn't, I missed him deeply. I was definitely sad that he was no longer in my physical world, but I didn't experience it as suffering. I just understood it. And so I didn't communicate it with anybody because I felt it was insensitive. And I know at five, it might seem like, whoa, that's a lot of, you're doing a lot of deep thinking there, but that's what was coming through for me, you know. And I probably wasn't into, until I was into my teens, my late teens, where I expressed that I was having that experience of my brother's passing.
So you started to move on and do other things with metaphysics? I mean, what other things did you start to develop?
So, you know, right into my teens, then I have a dance background. So, you know, dance became a way of sort of becoming conscious of my sort of movement in the world on an energetic level. I started engaging more deeply with meditation. That's actually meditation is a practice that's been a part of my family, and you know, the religious tradition, spirituality is that my parents practice. It's always been a part of that, and so it's something that I grew up with. I saw from when I was a little baby. So meditation has been a huge part of it, and then doing work with the chakra system, so all the energy centers in our body, and sort of training and learning about that, and learning from teachers about that. And then I started to do what I called body readings or energy readings. And what that would be is that I would connect to people on an energetic level and be able to read their different subtle bodies and what was happening for them in those subtle bodies. So if I was to look at you, Mike, and I could read, okay, what's happening to you energetically, emotionally, what's happening to you mentally, what's happening to you on a sort of cosmic level, what's happening to you physiologically. And I started to do that. I practiced that quite a bit in my late teens and early 20s. And, you know, those really became the molds through which I started to do energy work with people.
Do you see auras? I mean, different colors? Or what do you see when you talk about energy work?
Yeah, you know, again, my body becomes the modality through which I experience other people's energies. So I actually don't often see auras or don't see colors. Very rarely, sometimes maybe, but oftentimes it'll all come to me through my own body. So if I'm looking at you, you know, I can tell maybe potentially, you know, what was happening to you on a cerebral level because I'll feel something in my frontal lobe, for instance, you know. So that it'll come to me through my own body observing you.
Do you feel actual pain or anything that the other person's experiencing?
Yeah, sometimes. So recently when I was talking to someone, I could feel the constriction in their chest, and I could tell that they were holding some deep, deep, deep pain, and it turned out that they were, but it was actually manifesting for them on a physical level, and they told me that they were having chest pains, and after I told them that I was having chest pains, they said, oh my God, I'm having chest pains. I've been having them for a while now. I said, well, it's because you're not processing this thing that's very, you don't think it's that important, but actually it's causing you to have, like, your emotions are actually manifesting on a physical level. So, you know, bringing that knowledge to people that, you know, you, what happens to you on an emotional level, what happens to you on a psychic level or, you know, an energetic level can manifest in your body is really deep knowledge and important knowledge for people to have.
Again, when you start to do this, do you kind of go into a meditative state before you actually try to read somebody's energy level or energy output?
Yeah, I'm always trying to center, ground. I have my grounding exercises, my centering exercises, my meditation that I will do always before I read somebody. Recently I read somebody through a picture, you know, they sent me their picture and they said, will you read me? I said, sure. You know, and I was able to do it through the picture, and she was very moved by the reading because it was so sort of, it really sort of pinpointed what was going on with her. But also through that reading, I was also able to then help her sort of recognize the kinds of things that she needs to be doing to actually work out her issues. So for instance, she's been going to a therapist, but whatever work she's been doing around these issues that she's having has been really cognitive. It's been really about sort of mentally processing, but she's not energetically processing. So, you know, I'd recommended for her to go to a healer who does massage to help her sort of literally, like, physically move the energy out of her body, you know. So really, again, it depends on the person about what comes through, But oftentimes, it'll, you know, I think that the point of those readings is to direct people very specifically to things that they need to address.
So this is something that you sense. I mean, you don't actually have to touch a person, because you said you could look at a picture or something and get a reading. So it's just something that you see and feel that that person's going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, and then there's a, there is the knowledge of the chakra system, as I said, that the seven chakras in our body, the energy openings in our body that run from our crown all the way to the base of our body. You know, that knowledge that I bring to that, and then also sort of the understanding our energy fields, you know, and so understanding us in these fields of energy and what those fields of energies will tell us. So I'm sort of operating with that knowledge as I come to people and bring that to a reading.
And how did you learn how to do this? I mean, you said you had some training, but I mean, what kind of training was it, and how long did it take to reach the point where you felt comfortable to actually do these readings and feel, you know, a sense of security in that you know what you're doing and what you're talking about?
Yeah, so some of the other work in my other lives is that, you know, I'm an artist, so I, you know, I develop theater and, you know, write plays and produce and direct and act myself, and I had
you're multi-talented then.
I had a theater coach who was amazing. And so this is probably when I was about 20 years old, 22 years old, and she would have us stand in front of her, and she'd be like, okay, so now I just want you to like observe this person and just get a sense of what they're carrying in their body. And you know, she was very much trying to get us to get a sense of what was happening on our body on an emotional level, so that we could connect to the character of the person. But I actually, through that, made this connection back to the energetic. So through the knowledge of the chakras and through the subtle body energies, I was like, wait a second, so this reading that she's having us do is actually going to get us much deeper than just what's happening, what I'm perceiving on a physical level. And it really began from there. She kind of opened up that portal. I don't know if I've ever told her that. I actually probably should tell her that, but she opened up that world for me.
Right. Yeah. So again, it was something that you didn't really expect, but you just went with it, and it's turned into something that you've done for at least several years, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that, you know, the energy reading, body work stuff, you know, that again, that shows up in my life in all different kinds of ways. You know, sometimes it's being doing direct healing with people. So, and sometimes it's actually, you know, doing readings through pictures, or, you know, someone coming to me. In fact, at the fair again, someone came to me and said, would you do a reading for me? But I don't want a Turkish coffee cup reading. And I said, well, I do this other kind of reading. I'll just do it for you. Not a big deal. And we did end up, you know, I did end up reading him, and he was, you know, he felt that whatever came out of that was significant for him.
How long do these readings last generally, either the energy reading or the Turkish cup reading? Is it just several minutes, or how long does that usually take?
You know, again, it really depends, because with the Turkish coffee cup readings in particular, it all depends on what comes in the cup. So when you flip over a cup, like one I did recently, it was a group of people, and this one particular reading I did like took 5 minutes, and everyone's like, wait a second, how come hers was so quick? And I said, because the message was quick. It was like A and B, and that was it. There was nothing else, you know, to be said. Whereas with other people, it takes 20 minutes, takes 30 minutes. I think when you're trying to do people who are, when other people are waiting, then, you know, there's a time limit. But I try to also not time things, and I try to just go with whatever's being revealed. Right. But I'd say on average 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depends on the person. And then with the energy readings, the process of reading often doesn't take me very long. You know, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, but it's the conversation that happens between us after that point, after that initial reading, and then things will start to come out, and there'll be other things that will show up in the course of our conversation.
So do people come to you on a regular basis to get their energy read, to see if there's any changes in their body? Perhaps you might suggest they need to, you know, move more, exercise more. Do you do anything like that?
You know, I haven't really had a lot of people sort of do follow-ups with me, like on a regular basis. But I will have people come back to me sort of informally, sometimes formally even, just to say, hey, you know, that whatever we talked about there, yeah, that made a lot of sense. Here's what I've been doing. And, you know, if something shifts or I feel like I need more information, I'll come to you again, you know. But so there is a conversation oftentimes that happens afterwards, post-reading. Sometimes it's right away, sometimes, you know, years later. But You know, I'm open to just being in a process with people. So if that means multiple times of meeting or continuously meeting, you know, whatever people need.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do energy work, is that something that you can access only when you need it? In other words, if you're in a store or at an airport or something, is it something that just, you know, will bombard you at times, that you'll pick up different vibrations or anything like that?
Such a good question. Yeah. It's a problem sometimes, because I feel like, you know, one of the things that I'm becoming much, much better at is really having the protective light around me, the boundary, which we all need to have, mm-hmm. So that I don't take people's stuff on, which I tend to do, you know, and sometimes I don't even know it, you know. So I remember being in a restaurant with somebody and sitting down, and I could just feel this person's energy next to me, who, you know, I didn't know, and I just couldn't sit there. I was like, hey, I gotta go. And not because the energy was bad, it was just mm-hmm. because there was just too much. I couldn't, just too much to process. So, you know, I have to consciously work at, you know, keeping the light around me and keeping that, you know, love boundary around me, so that I don't take on people's stuff, and also decipher, you know, and this is the hard part sometimes, what's my stuff and what's somebody else's stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really important, because you don't want to be processing other people's stuff when you don't need to.
Right, yeah. You don't want to bog yourself down, right?
No.
So, I mean, do you sometimes, though, just you can't resist the fact that you have to tell this person something or mention something about their energy level or whatever the case may be? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, that has. And, you know, I'm very cautious about that, because...
Yeah, you might get shot for one thing. I mean, you know, in today's day and age, you just never know, that's all.
Yeah, you know, again, I sort of really check in to see if there's an invitation from that person's spirit, from that person's being, mm-hmm. for that conversation. So listening to their being, seeing if they're inviting a conversation, and then if they do and if it is, then I will. And sometimes, even though that invitation is there, people are not ready to hear it on a mm-hmm. conscious level. So even though the being is ready, they're not ready. Their being is ready, I mean. And so then the information is there, and they can do whatever they want with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel exhausted sometimes after being out and coming back home, because you felt the different, you know, energy levels of several different people, anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that definitely happens to me. And again, I think it's a matter of me kind of coming back to my own tools of grounding and protecting and clearing, again, clearing energy. This is why I use a lot of sage in my readings, is to clear. So after every reading, I'll clear cups, I'll clear space, I'll clear me. I'll sometimes even clear the person if that's necessary, so that we're sort of like starting with a clear slate as much as possible. And I'm, you know, not, again, things are not lingering that don't need to linger.
Mm-hmm. And what does the sage do?
The sage actually helps clear and remove things. So clear and remove energies, clear and remove ideas, thoughts, beliefs, whatever it might be, that are no longer for us in that space anymore, right? Mm-hmm. It also kind of clears me of other people's energies, because again, in that interaction, it's a pretty intimate interaction. And I'm taking on things in the sense of receiving things for you. And I want to be done with that once we're done, mm-hmm. assuming that that's what needs to happen. And if it does, then, you know, I want to clear that, and I use the sage to do that.
Mm-hmm. So when you do something like the Festival of Enlightenment, Holistic Fear, or any type of event like that, does that take a lot out of you? Is that something where you have to go home and just kind of decompress or whatever, like you say, get centered again? Does that affect you that way?
The funny thing about that fair was, you know, I had met the most amazing souls at that fair, so thank you so much for that opportunity.
Thank you for being with us.
Such a blessing and honor. And to just to do the work with the people that, you know, I was able to meet was, again, such an honor for me. But, you know, by the end of it, I actually felt rejuvenated and invigorated. And I, you know, whatever that process was that day, in that moment, it actually brought me alive, I think, in a deeper and bigger way. And then there's some times where it doesn't, you know, where I feel like, okay, I'm tired and I just need to sleep this off. Mm-hmm. And I do. Mm-hmm. And then there's times where it's like, okay, I'm not doing any readings for a while. I'm not talking to anybody for a few days.
Yeah.
And I just need to kind of quiet time, you know, to recenter and reground. But so I think, again, it's open to sort of how things unfold in the course of a day or in the course of meeting with people.
Is there a certain number, perhaps, where, you know, you don't want to do more than X number of readings during a day, or that doesn't really matter?
Again, like, I think it's a matter of, like, the most recent one I did, I had, like, I think six people that I did in a row. And But it was fine. You know, everyone was like, oh, you must be so tired at the end of this. And I was like, actually, no, I'm not tired. It's great.
Right. Like you said, it just depends on the situation. Each event is different.
Each event is different. Yeah. And again, for me, again, just listening and checking in to myself, right? And kind of being honest with myself, too, about what I can and cannot do for people at certain times. I think that's really important, too, because I think as light workers or energy workers, we're like, okay, we have to be there all the time for everyone, you know, in every way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes you can't be, and you can only show up how you can show up.
Right. And again, you're only human, right?
You're only human. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Real quickly, again, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Salima Bimani, and she is a energy light worker, artist, and educator. Now, do you have anything to do with your artwork? I mean, is that done through spirit as well, or how do you be an artist? Is that something you paint, or I know you said that you do physical things like dance. That's, you know, art in itself.
Yeah.
What do you mean by artist per se?
Yeah. So creating, you know, creative projects. Most of my modalities have been through art and through theater. So, you know, I write plays and I try to mount plays and produce plays. And that's been really important. And actually, I've been working on one recently, which I hope to do a stage reading for. It's called Hal, which means states in Persian. And the whole idea of that actually is to experience people at their different states. So what happens to people when they actually enter sadness? What happens when they enter happiness? What happens when they enter, you know, joy? What happens when they enter confusion? And how do we, as another being, experience that with them? So there's an exploration of that. And that for me is, you know, even for the call that I'm going to put out, you know, I'm looking for actors and dancers who understand that they're not just operating on a physical level, that they're energetic beings, and that have a consciousness around that and have a consciousness around their breath, and the breath being sort of the primordial place of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And coming to it from that. So absolutely, I feel like even my artistic work, I don't see a separation or compartmentalization between anything that I do. You know, it's to live and be as a spirit worker means that it's part of everything that you do in life.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you write, do you receive spirit and they are, you know, perhaps you're a conduit for, I don't know, messages from spirit or whatever the case may be? Or would you say that it's really just you yourself that is doing the writing? How would you describe that?
Oh, that's an interesting question. No, I'd say I'm writing it.
So it's all you, right?
Okay. No, but it's not. And I think that's the thing. I think it's a co-creation between me and the universe, you know? So I feel like if, you know, whatever wisdom is coming through or whatever's being articulated on paper, you know, for me, that is, again, a gift from the universe. Mm-hmm. And that's how I see it. You know, I don't... I always see it as a blessing and an honor and a gift. And for me, that's really, really important to always have that gratitude and that infinite gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just know some people actually feel that they're a conduit for whatever artistic expression they're trying to develop, mm-hmm. you know, that they just receive spirit and it comes through their music, their dance, mm-hmm. their writing, whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. But mm-hmm. you say that you have had some experience with that?
Yeah, you know, I think that we're all divine beings, and we are divine, you know. So when we come from that place, when we operate from that place, then everything is a divine expression, and that's kind of how I approach it. So in my creative energy, that is a divine expression, you know. Yeah, it's coming through me as you know the body, the vessel, but it's completely, you know, in collaboration with the universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, how can people get in touch with you if they wanted to either get a reading or, you know, an energy reading, something like that?
Yeah, they can email me at salimacreate@gmail.com or 734-759-7945.
Okay. Now, when you do give a reading, again, do you just get people coming up to you out of the blue? I mean, you're surprised when you get, you know, certain responses from people. Maybe people refer other people to you. Are you surprised once in a while to hear from certain people?
I am. You know, I sometimes when I get those second calls and third calls, I am surprised. I don't know why at this point. I shouldn't be. But, you know, I feel like people come to me because they feel like there's something that we've done together that's resonated for them, you know, and there's a follow-up sometimes. Sometimes it's a completely new reading, like whatever happened in the past, now what's happening now is now, and I need to sort of have this conversation with you about now. But for me, it's always an honor again, and it's very humbling to know that people want to come back and converse.
Mm-hmm. Do you often give readings to your friends and family, or not necessarily?
Yeah, lots.
Yeah, lots, really?
Yeah.
They hit you up?
Every event.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, there's usually some readings that happen at events, and I was just talking to my sister actually about it recently, and she was just telling me about how a reading that I did for in December actually was something that was super important to her life, and that's actually changed the trajectory of her life. So, you know,
for good, I assume.
For right? good, mm-hmm. yes, for good. I just did reading for another family member, and you know, the same. It was like deeply, profoundly moving for them, and you know, and sometimes people assume because you're a family member and you know things about them that that's going to filter how you read the cup.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, that communication is not me, Salima. Body Salima, mind Salima, it's me, spirit Salima. You know, it's my being in communication with your being and with the universe. And then we're operating on a different level, you know, then the relationships don't necessarily matter anymore, at least for that moment.
Mm-hmm. So you feel that you're objective enough to actually give a reading to someone that you're very close to. You don't really have any doubts per se that, like you're saying, you know somebody so well. Is that something that you kind of based on feelings or observations you made about them, you honestly feel that you're receiving that message for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be impossible to erase everything, you know, because I think that that's impossible. But I think that what I do try to do is be present for that moment and be present for them. And there's sometimes where my, you know, if it's family members, they'll be like, wait, but I want to know about this. And I'm like, well, that's not what the cup's saying. And they're like, what do you mean? Well, that's not what the cup's. So I feel like there's an expectation from them sometimes that you're going to give mm-hmm. them a particular kind of reading.
Right.
Or that you're going to say X, Y, Z to them, or that they right. want to hear X, Y, Z. And I'm like,
exactly.
well, that's right. not really the reading, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. People want to hear certain things. They might be anxious about, you know. I mean, people will say, come to you and say, I want to find out about a certain situation in life. And mm-hmm. is that what you start to look at first?
That sometimes it goes that way, and sometimes it just goes that I begin with the reading, you know. And oftentimes I think I just begin with the reading. I don't want them to tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start with the reading and then see what happens from there, and then we can kind of bring in the conversation. Tell me what else you want me to know about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I often want to start sort of without knowing too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, you want to be a clean slate, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Non-biased.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the way it should be. Well, Salima, thank you very much for being a guest on this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Mm. I really appreciate you being here. It's very interesting, and I guess I'll have to get a coffee cup reading sometime. That sounds very interesting.
I owe you one, I think. Thank
okay.
you, Mike.
Well, thank
Peace
you.
And light to you.
Thank you. I just wanted to, again, thank my guest for this month, Salima Bimani. And a very interesting conversation. Like I said, she wanted to be part of our festival. And the fact that she put down a Turkish coffee reader really, really got my interest, because I had never seen that before. I had heard about tea leaf readers, things like that, but nothing to do with coffee. And I'm a coffee drinker, so that's what, you know, caught my eye anyway, and very interesting. So I appreciate her being on this show and also being a part of our festival as well. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay. I always appreciate his work in helping me put out each edition of Metaphysically Speaking. And as some of you loyal listeners know, last month on March 21st, we held our 7th annual Festival of Enlightenment. That's right, 7th annual Festival of Enlightenment, Holistic Fair, right here at Henry Ford College. It turned out to be another huge success. I want to thank everyone who attended the fair. I would also like to thank the following people: our vendors, readers, and body workers, also the musicians that were there, our festival donors, all of our speakers, Mama Tracy, Marsha Kozlowski, Charles W. Thomas Jr., Brian John Piccolo, and Dr. Denise Acton. I want to also thank the management and staff of WHFR. Also, Ken Donovan and the Henry Ford Graphics Department, they were a huge help. Also, our media partners, Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, and Natural Awakenings. And last, but certainly not least, I would really like to give a special thank you to Lynn Grunst. She helps me organize this event every year, or most of the years anyway. I don't think she was with us for the first one, but ever since then, she's been helping with this event, and she really does a fantastic job. So I really want to thank her for all of her work and all the effort she puts into this festival. And this festival was our best yet, and we sure had a lot of fun. And be sure to mark your calendars for Saturday, March 19th, 2016, for our 8th Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. Once again, we hope you can join us and be there at the fair next year. With all that being said, I just want to say thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
From River City High, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And if you're not listening to WHFR Dearborn, you're not listening.
This is the TED Radio Hour. Each week, groundbreaking TED Talks.
TED Talks.
TED.
Technology.
Entertainment.
Design.
Design. Is that really what it stands for? I've never known that.
Delivered at TED conferences around the world.
It's the gift of the human imagination.
We've had to believe in impossible things.
The true nature of reality beckons from just beyond.
Those talks, those ideas, adapted for radio. From NPR. I'm Guy Raz. Coming up,
persons can be improved.
It just takes work.
Here's the way to do it.
You start at the bottom.
Listen to what your body is telling you.
Then you build up.
Security is basic.
You can't even survive without belonging to a group.
But this involves a renunciation of the notion of the perfectibility of man.
This episode, Maslow's Human Needs. First, the news.
HFC's associate degree program in automotive technology includes detailed instruction related to the various systems found on today's vehicles. This program is designed to provide students with a thorough knowledge of the technical aspects of the automobile and to develop a certain level of manual skill in servicing, testing, and diagnosing. Classroom and laboratory classes provide students with the experience and understanding they'll need to qualify in numerous fields of employment associated with the automobile industry. For more information on HFC's Associate Degree Program in Automotive Technology, contact Instructor Gary Hines at 313-845-6350. That's Instructor Gary Hines at 313-845-6350.
Think you have what it takes? We do. Henry Ford College. Visit us online.